Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. Friday, October 18th, 2019, it's Here the Turtle and Keith. A lot of different things going on in College Park right now. We've got football on Saturday. We've got men's and women's basketball coming into full swing. Let's start with football. Indiana Saturday. It's family weekend. All the families of Maryland coming.
Saturday, October 19th, 3:30 at Maryland Stadium. You can watch the game on the Big Ten Network. And once again, back home after a couple road trips for the Terps at Purdue last weekend. Unfortunately, not able to come out with a victory in that one, but a chance to rebound against the Hoosiers on Saturday.
Yes, a very much a chance. A home game against a program that if you're Maryland right now, you're trying to measure yourself against the Big Ten East. I think where Mike Locksley wants to go, Indiana and Rutgers in this division are the ones you're going to want to consistently beat. The Terps get a very good opportunity to get that done. Obviously, Purdue, as you said, Keith, a little disappointing. Terps just never could really get it going in that game. Tyrell Pigram struggled a little bit at quarterback, and Maryland depleted by some secondary injuries. Marcus Lewis out for most of that game. Tino Ellis got hurt, now out for the season. Our guy Tino, our hearts go out to him as his senior season unfortunately ends in injury, but Maryland just threw some young guys in the game and couldn't get enough pressure to really help those guys out. So Purdue's able to throw the ball around and get that win. But Maryland has, as we always say, has all of it in front of them to still get the 6 wins to get to a bowl. And this is an Indiana team that is pretty prolific offensively, so Maryland will have to play a little bit better in that area. And obviously, Piggy is going to have to be a little bit better, but the key for Maryland, get the ball to Javon Lee, get Anthony McFarland if he can come back and play off the ankle sprain that he is dealing with. So a big game for Maryland football coming up on Saturday. Make sure, as Keith said, tune into that one on the Big Ten Network as they try to get some momentum back going. And welcome all of our freshman families.
Bring the family.
Come out. Should be a beautiful day in College Park. But you and I, Keith, this week got the little taste of that basketball bug. Men's and women's basketball both held separate media days this week. And I think we should go through for the listeners a couple of observations from each of us, one from what we saw from men's media day and what we saw from women's media day. Men's media day was first earlier this week. We're actually recording on a Thursday. Women's media day was this morning. So let's start with the men. Your biggest observation from men's basketball media day, Keith.
My biggest takeaway, Taylor, Maryland has length. This Maryland team is tall and long, and I did some number crunching.
Oh, I love when you crunch the numbers. Okay. I love when Keith Sneddon crunches the
numbers. Can you guess the average height of Maryland's forwards and centers? So no guards, just forwards and centers. Guess their average height.
Well, Scholl certainly brings it up. I'm going to say 6'10".
Okay. And how about the total team?
I am going to say 6'6".
Okay. A little ambitious, Taylor, but very close. 6'8 for the forwards and centers and 6'5. So
okay, I was right there. I was all right.
There's probably some teams out there that can measure up to Maryland in terms of length and size, but not many. You know, that is definitely going to be a huge asset for this team this year, especially on the defensive end. Maryland ranked 21st in adjusted defense last year, according to KenPom.
You love KenPom, Keith.
Big KenPom guy. 7th in the country in rebounding margin, 18th in the nation in block shots per game. Something that Maryland should be able to do at a high level again, despite the loss of Bruno Fernando. You bring in a really loaded freshman class, the Mitchell twins, Dante Scott, Scholl Merriel. If he's able to get healthy, able to kind of get to the Big Ten part of the schedule, Maryland's going to be a tough, tough team to drive in the lane on or get any clean looks or clean shots at the basket just with the length they have this season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation. It was interesting sitting there watching the scrimmage to sort of see all the different things Maryland can do, and that brings me to my observation. And as you said, Keith, the length and the different sizes Maryland has, gives Mark Turgeon a lot of lineup versatility. And I think that was on display watching the two teams scrimmage, or sort of the, you know, the scout team against a rotating cast of characters that I guess we'll call our starters and rotational players. We're getting more of the minutes with a guy like Anthony Cowan who's gonna, and Eric Aiello are going to be your two starting guards. But Maryland can do a ton. There was at one point a lineup there that had Daryl Morcell playing the four, which is a really small lineup, but a guy like Morcell brings you so much versatility because he can defend so many positions, really one through four. There are going to be some power forwards that he's not going to be able to defend that are bigger. You think about a guy like Bruno Fernando. You wouldn't want to put Daryl up against a guy like that. But some of the ways basketball is now played with the guys that are sort of stand away from the basket at the four position, those are guys that Daryl can defend on the perimeter. Obviously, gives away a little height, but from a quickness perspective, they're not going to get past him. So Maryland can do a lot of things from that perspective.
And you think back to his freshman year, he did have to play the four in several games, and he actually led Maryland in offensive rebounds his freshman year, just showing, you know, how important he was to that offensive side of the glass. And you look back to last season, and you know, there probably wasn't more than three or four, you know, lineup combinations that you saw start. So there was five different lineup combinations that started a game for Maryland last year. Obviously, as the game flows in, different people get subbed in and out, but I think you may even see more than five different starting lineup combinations for Maryland at different points this season.
Yeah, and obviously at some point Mark Turgeon is going to want to get one that sort of gets into a flow. But as you said, he's got so many guys that can do different things. You can take Anthony Cowan off the ball and put Eric Aiello on the ball. You can take Cowan out of the game if you're running his minutes up and move Aaron Wiggins up to the two and let Aiello run your team at that point. And then a guy like Dante Scott is pretty interesting to watch, as you said, Keith, because of his length at 6'7". Another guy like Morcell that can defend multiple positions. And I think Scott would be wise to pattern his game off Morcell as a glue guy. It's been fun to watch Daryl embrace that role. Sometimes when you come out of high school and you're the team's best player and you're able to score, that's a hard role to embrace. Daryl really has, in his years so far at Maryland, that he's going to be asked to do that. And really just the an observation off that, just, you know, Mark Turgeon's talked about Jalen Smith, been calling him Logs. He's enjoyed that line that he's come up with a lot. It is true.
Logs, I mean, Trunks, Thicks, whatever you want to call him.
Whatever you want to call him. That dude is big. That dude is big. It was funny looking at Maryland's Instagram today, the Terrapin Hoops Instagram, Bruno Fernando commenting on a picture of Jalen Smith saying, gained a lot of weight. There's no doubt the guy is much, much bigger, and he gives the Maryland the ability him to play at the four and the five. As you said, the Mitchell twins, two big guys. So Maryland can do a lot of different things, and that was fun to watch in that scrimmage, a good, hard, competitive scrimmage, and you can tell those guys are really going after everything. One play that Dante Scott made that impressed me was ran down Anthony Cowan on a fast break and really defended him well, and he got a lot of plaudits from Matt Brady, the assistant coach. Those guys are playing hard in the scrimmage. That was fun to watch. And Mark Turgeon is going to have a lot of pieces at his disposal, which he should have fun with, and he seems so excited about his team up at the podium. You could see the way the guys are practicing and playing is really impressive. Let's move on to the women. Women's basketball expected to be a contender for Final Fours, Big Ten championships, a very talented roster. Keith, your initial impression today that we saw from Brenda Fries and her team?
Obviously, Brenda Fries brings back some experience with Kyla Charles, Shakira Austin, but just like the men's class, bringing in some size, Maryland women's team has a freshman class that's going to be really fun to watch. At 6 foot, 6'3", 6'1", and 5'10", the freshman four-piece of Ashley Owusu, Diamond Miller, Faith Masaunas, and Zoe Young, they're going to be really fun to watch throughout their college career. Averaged over 20 points a game in high school, all four of them. Unfortunately, we won't see Zoe this season. She suffered a preseason injury, but I think there's going to be plenty of minutes for this other trio. Diamond Miller, Coach Fries called the second fastest player on the team after Kyla Charles. And also really excited about Faith. Her scoring ability on the wing might play some of the four Coach mentioned today, but some versatility with this freshman class for Brenda Fries.
Yeah, the freshman class is so, so talented, and Brenda Fries has just proven herself year after year as a fantastic recruiter. She proved it last year when she brought in my observation, which is Shakira Austin. And I thought one of the most interesting things Brenda Fries said to the assembled media today was she's seeing a lot more consistency day to day with Shakira Austin. And I think when you watched Maryland women's basketball last year, one of the things that would have, I think, put them a little more over the top was Austin tapping into her limitless potential on a more consistent basis. Sometimes when you watch her, she looked like she'd be one of the most dominant players on both ends of the court in the country, and then other times it looked like the game sped up on her a little bit. She would get into foul trouble, and that sometimes happens when you're a freshman. So hearing from Brenda Fries that she is finding some more potential, because the freshman season certainly wasn't bad. All freshman team in the Big Ten, all defensive team in the Big Ten, all Big Ten honorable mention. She's the Big Ten Freshman of the Week 5 times. So it certainly wasn't like she was having a bad year, but you watch someone with such good potential, stand 6'5", a local kid. I think Shakira Austin now finding that potential. She could be a really big asset on both ends of the floor. The shot blocking ability is there. Broke the single-season blocks record last year in her freshman season.
That's incredible. Right?
And we have seen some very good players in the post for the Terps in Brenda Freeze's time here. So that's no small feat. Shakira Austin can really be a game-breaker for this Maryland team that, if they can put it all together, I don't think this is overstating the potential, is certainly a Final Four team and can potentially compete maybe for a national championship with a person like Kyla Charles, who brings back so much experience as an All-American, could be one of the best players not only in the Big Ten but in the entire country. But I think if Shakira Austin can take that next step, she gives the Terps that inside-outside punch with Kyla herself, and then Taylor Mikesell, who is such an unbelievable shooter on the outside. If you have that type of floor spacing with someone inside like that who can gobble up the rebounds, got to be a really tough team for opposing teams to stop.
And one last thing on Shakira. You watched the NBA Finals, you know, this past few weeks, the Washington Mystics. Shout out
to WNBA Finals.
The WNBA
yes.
Finals, excuse me. Shout out to the three Terrapins that
yes,
won
huge.
A WNBA Finals championship.
There were 1,000 playing. We were winning on whether it was both teams. We had AT and Brianna Jones on the other side. So whatever happened, a Terp was winning.
Yeah, Christy Tolliver, Torrey Walker-Kimbrough, and Tiana Hawkins. But you look at watch a lot of those players, the Elena Deladons of the world. It's, man, Shakira looks like she's got the body type. She's got the ability, the raw talent to maybe get to that level one day.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the dominance of someone like for Baylor years ago, like Brittany Griner, who was able to sure. dominate on both ends of the floor. And not you know, comparing Shakira to someone as game-changing as that, but you just see that type of potential in the body type and the way she can play already defensively. Once you get that type of consistency, you're going to be really, really good game to game. So excited to watch that Maryland women's team play. They seem really ramped up to have a big year, and so do the men. Watching Brenda Freeze and Mark Turgeon talk to the media, they just had that look in their eye. And sometimes when you see a coach talk preseason, you can tell when they know, I don't know about this year. Those two both look like they're very ready to coach these two teams. They're having a lot of fun coaching them. Both teams very hungry to do better. Because if you remember, a lot of talk about the men's disappointing end with such a heartbreaker to try to get to the Sweet 16. Same thing happened to the women at home against UCLA, losing in a really tough game against the Bruins, who came across and beat the Terps on the Xfinity Center floor in the second round. So they are certainly hungry to get over a couple of earlier exits than they've had in the past and get back to a Final Four. So really fun for both those teams to do their media days. And they are coming up very, very
November,
quickly.
November, man. October's almost
over. It's unbelievable.
Get ready,
Tuesday, November 5th at 11 a.m., Terps open with Field Trip Day at the Xfinity Center. And then South Carolina, Sunday, November 10th on ESPN for the women. A really big game to open their schedule. As you said, Keith, it is already November. Men open that same night, Friday night. Give us the particulars there.
Friday night against Holy Cross.
Yes.
At 7:30 p.m. That game will be on BTN Plus. There's a few games on BTN Plus that first month of the season as other sports are winding down.
Got us all those subscriptions, baby.
You know, get those subscriptions and then got it for a month and then they're on TV the rest of the way.
They're on TV the rest of the way. And the women are also on TV a ton this year. So you're going to get a huge dose of men's and women's basketball all over the networks that broadcast Big Ten events. Speaking of TV and people that played well on TV and broke TVs, and that's our guest this week, and that is Steve Francis, Stevie Franchise. We caught up with him now a couple of months ago, Keith, when he was on campus. Been saving this one for a little closer to basketball season, just whet that appetite, and now we have, you know, broken the glass on our fantastic interview with Steve Francis, and what a guy to talk to. That was so much fun.
Yeah, I've been waiting to drop this episode for months and months, right, since we talked to him. And, man, like, we've been so fortunate to be able to do this podcast over the years, Taylor. And he's one of the guests where you sit down and think, man, I'm really talking to Steve Francis right now.
Sure.
The Franchise, you know, one of the legends of Maryland basketball, legends of the NBA when I was growing up, you know, just watching the league, watching him on those Rockets teams, watching him play with Yao Ming.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, what a legendary duo those two were. But great conversation.
It was a fantastic conversation, as you said, Keith. We've talked to a lot of people, but I think when we initially started this, Steve Francis was at the top of our list of guys to talk to. Such an interesting road to get him to Maryland. Went to community college and then got picked out of there. And that it's just such a whirlwind of a one season at Maryland, an All-American, and the dunks are amazing. And as you said, in the NBA, played on some really interesting Rockets teams, was in the greatest dunk contest, yes, arguably, of all time with Vince Carter, who, yes, you and I were just talking about, is now in his 22nd season. So really fun to talk to Stevie Franchise. Let's get to that interview. As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with Maryland basketball legend. We don't use that word lightly, but a legend, Steve Francis. Steve, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, guys.
First of all, you come back here to College Park. You've come back, obviously, a few times since you finished playing in the league, but what's it like just to come back to College Park and relive some of the memories in your head? What kind of feelings do you get coming back?
All I can remember, man, when I come here is me driving my Bronco on campus, the whole atmosphere, the ambiance of being a student. Student life here at Maryland was great. And, you know, just being home is always a good feeling.
We want to take you back to one specific memory, and it gets a ton of play every single year. The dunk against NC State at Coalfield House, you steal the ball, you put the ball behind your back and slam it home. What were you thinking in moments like that where you had the open court and you knew it was showtime?
If I miss, I know Coach is going to take me out. I better make this dunk or Coach Williams will be sweating. But, you know, just being in Coalfield House, man, I swear, it just took me up another level. Like, my adrenaline would be flowing. And it was something that I practiced, man. I said, if I ever got on that stage here in College Park, I would use that dunk growing up here in D.C. in Maryland. So it was a great opportunity for me.
And you touched on it a little bit, but how much is College Park, how much has PG County just changed, you know, since you played here, since your playing days? I mean, the campus probably looks like a foreign place to you, you know, now coming back.
Yeah, it does. That means our sports teams are winning. And, I guess the Boosters are doing a great job. But, no, I mean, it's one of the best colleges in the United States. I mean, you come to College Park, you'll get treated like it's home. I guess for me, you know, I'm selfish because I'm from here. But, you know, it's definitely blossomed into one of the main campuses. And, you know, being in the Big Ten, so you got to show off a little bit.
Tacoma Park guy, local guy, what are some of your just earliest memories of just playing basketball in this area growing up around here?
Well, growing up here, my idol, of course, was Walt Williams. So I followed him around every opportunity I had on campus, basketball camps, watching him and Lenny, and just – being able to go outside and play. Like, nowadays you very seldom see kids outside, you know, playing. But for me, you know, being outside playing and getting that fresh air, and that was always a good thing for me.
When did sort of the dream of playing for Maryland start for you? Was it at those camps when you're following, you know, watching guys like Lenny, watching Walt Williams? When did that start? And then when did it start to become really a reality when you obviously went the college route and obviously ended up here?
It started when I was 12 years old playing AAU at Coalfield House. I had a game-winning three-pointer. That was a four-point play. And I probably played in front of the most people I've ever played, probably like 600 people. So to me, I thought the whole Coalfield House was jam-packed. And when I made that shot and I got fouled and I stood up and just looked around, and that image stuck with me until, you know, junior college and making my decision to go to college.
What was your first memory of meeting Coach Williams, and what was his pitch to you to come play for Maryland?
Well, I met him when I was a kid because, like I said, I was following Walt, him and Coach. I was following Coach Hahn, Coach Williams, and all those guys. So he kind of knew a little bit of me, but to meet him, cool and calm. You know, anybody that can come and talk to my grandmother like that and walk out with praise is a cool guy. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of pressure. You know, we both were mutual about the decision. So it was, you know, like my uncle telling me, hey, I got something else I want to show you before you go play with the big boys. So that's the way I looked at it.
What's the best Gary Williams story that you can tell us? Maybe that's appropriate for this podcast.
Best Gary Williams story. Well, my first game here was a preseason game. I came to practice, did my workouts, went to class, everything, me and Lonnie Baxter. And, you know, I'm excited for the game. So I go to take my afternoon nap, and I missed my alarm clock. So this is the first preseason game that the hype Steve Francis is going to perform today. I walk in the locker room 2 minutes late and was benched. So off the break, he let me know that, hey, you think you're hot shit? Well, I'm going to let you know right now, hey, don't come around here late. So ever since then, early.
Obviously,
to this day.
There was a ton of hype coming into that season. That team came together, Terrell Stokes, Laurent Prophet, all those different guys, and you guys had a sort of a nice season there. What was it like going through that whirlwind of coming in with all that hype and then living up to so much with being an All-American?
The guys kept me humble. They, of course, just like anybody, you always got to treat a person like a regular person. And we all knew that our intentions that season was to win a national championship, even though that year Obina Akizi got hurt. Who knows, you know, how far we could have went. And we had to resort in starting a freshman in Lonnie Bax, who went on to win the national championship. But, you know, at that point, we thought, you know, that we probably could make a legitimate run.
You mentioned Lonnie Baxter, Juan Dixon on that team as well, kind of setting the groundwork for that championship in 2002. What were some of those early things you saw out of those guys where you figured, okay, these guys are legit, they can be something one day?
Well, Lonnie was late with me because he's my roommate, so Coach was probably on him a little bit more. But, they're even Juan, even when he redshirted, like I would come see them practice. And, you know, dedication. Those guys were dedicated. They seen the seniors because they – started as freshmen. They went, they sat on the bench, they seen the struggles. And I think it finally came together, you know, two Final Fours, and then to get it was a big feat. So I felt like I won the championship with those guys because, you know, when they were young, every summer I would come back, I would go to class here in the summer and play with the guys. So I feel very connected.
Do you remember where you watched that national championship? I'm sure you had to have been locked into that entire run. Do you remember the moment when that happened, how much pride that you felt?
I did not want anybody around me. I was at my house in Houston, TV blasting, yelling, popcorn, everything. And I'm just like... I think I might have missed practice or something. We had practice that day, so I was just so excited about the game. But I was going to go to Atlanta, but we had a game the next day, so I couldn't make it. But definitely was happy about that.
1999, that first season with the Rockets. I mean, what was going through your head? Maybe that first welcome to the NBA moment you had out on the court.
I played against Sam Cassell, and my first game, he had 35 points on me. And I couldn't do anything. I was tired. I was excited. But it really taught me about how, hey, this is a long journey. It's not a sprint. So you have to come prepared every opportunity you get.
I've got to ask you about a night that I think will forever live on in NBA history. The dunk contest, you, Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, one of the best of all time. What was it like to be in that gym? I think everyone looks at Vince, but you guys put on a show as well and had that crowd absolutely erupting with every single slam. What was it like to be a part of that?
That's when I knew I was in the NBA. When I went to the dunk contest, I knew I was in the NBA because I've always dreamed of being in the NBA, but the dunk contest was something that I, you know, wanted to flourish at a young age, even though I was short, you know, until I was like 19. But the dunk contest is something that I've always, you know, look forward to and was blessed to be in and have a great chance.
Is it crazy to look back at that now and it still holds up to the test of time? I mean, the NBA dunk contest, maybe with how much the game's evolved, you think that would still be, you know, such a marquee event, but maybe it doesn't have the same shine as it used to. Isn't it crazy just to think about
it? It is, man. These kids now, like, you got guys in 7th, 8th grade are doing windmills. And I'm just like, what? So, you know, the game has changed and the kids are faster, stronger. And the only thing I don't think that they have right now, they don't have the camaraderie to play with each other because everybody is playing a lot of individual basketball, and it starts from the top level. So like me and Coach Turgeon just was talking about, getting the guys to play together will be the best thing for this program, and I think he's doing the best job that he can. And if anybody's doubting that he's not trying to win a championship, they're looking at the wrong guy.
Yeah, what do you see a little bit from this current group of Maryland players? Obviously, you have some local guys, which, you know, holds true for you, but it's obviously a nationwide program, brings guys in from a lot of places. What do you see with this group after just talking to Coach Turgeon?
We want to win a championship. Right? You know, the camaraderie with the older guys and the younger guys. You know, we're a young team right now. And just like I was just talking about Warren and Lonnie and Chris and those guys, they were young. So the older guys is for them to set the tone to where not saying that, hey, these young kids are better than me, but showing them so we could be better as a cohesive unit. And I think that's what Coach is looking to do this year. And I'm happy. I'm excited about this season. So I've been invited to a lot more games this year, so I'll definitely be there.
I was going
to
say, will we see you out at the Xfinity Series this year?
Yeah, we'll definitely see me a lot more this year. My son is 11. He's about to be 12. He's paying a lot of attention to colleges now, so we'll definitely be coming to some games this year.
Maybe a little birthday celebration.
Yeah, February. A little birthday celebration for myself in February.
We'll end you here on a little bit of rapid fire. First one, toughest guy you had to guard during your NBA career?
Baron Davis.
Ooh, he's quick. He's got some athleticism.
Baron Davis is a mirror of me, so.
Maybe favorite team that you played on in the NBA? Favorite year or the year you
favorite
thought?
Favorite year?
Yeah.
Favorite team?
There it is. Houston. There's the Rockets. There's the Rockets tattoo right there. That's you don't need audio for something like that. Back when you were in college, we asked this to all of our current student athletes, but obviously it's changed a little bit. Your favorite place to eat in College Park?
Favorite place, of course, is Lido's, but I'm from here. So Lido's, definitely. Danny's Chinese, Cluck You.
Oh, Cluck You is a great callback.
I stayed in Hungerford. We stayed in the dorms when I was here, so. I would see y'all don't even know that we stayed in dorms when I was here. There was no apartments or anything. So
what dorms?
I was in I think it was Hartford Hall. Hartford.
Okay.
Okay.
So I had a little square box room, no TV, nothing fancy, guys. So they're living la vida loca.
You and Lonnie in the same room? You said he was your roommate?
Me and Lonnie and Matt Hahn.
Oh wow. Uh-huh.
What a show.
Maybe favorite thing about the DMV.
Favorite thing about here, diversity. I mean, it's so diverse. You got people, everybody wants to come visit the White House. But once they see that it's not just Washington, it's Maryland and Virginia, and to be from here is a blessing. And I carry it with me everywhere I go.
And then finally, your favorite game that you played in your one season in College Park. If you think back to one Maryland moment, what just resonates for you when you think about back to your career?
When we played in Kentucky, even though we lost that game, that was college basketball, the ambiance, the police escorts, the Dick Vitale. and I can say also we played Stanford at the BB&T tournament at the then MCI Center. So those were nationally televised games, but those were, you know, the games that you really want to get up for. And I think that our team did a great job.
Steve Francis, the way you play, a guy Dick Vitale would love to just explode about every single time, you play the game of basketball.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
Steve Francis, thank you so much, first of all, for everything you did for Maryland basketball and then for coming us to join on the show. And we will see you back at the Xfinity Center as we cheer on the 2019-20 Terps to hopefully the top heights of college basketball. So thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Be the turtle.
Awesome interview right there, Keith, with Steve Francis. And he talked about his Rockets tattoos. Yes. Will you be getting a Maryland tattoo?
TBD. Mm. TBD. Mm.
Wouldn't be a bad for you're not. You don't have a tattoo at this point.
I do not. Okay. I don't think I'm cool enough to fall into the tattoo guy.
Yeah.
Moniker. But, fair enough. Things change. You know. Well, hey, win a natty one day. You know. Maybe you throw one out there.
I said the only thing I would ever do to get a tattoo would be if I like made the Olympics. I would get the Olympic rings. I think that would be. Tattoo is really really cool. Because if I get anything else, my mom will kill me. The incomparable Tina Smythe will have none of that. So I will keep my mom happy.
You might grow up and get out of the house, but mom probably.
Monica Sneddon, would she be in favor?
That's a hard no.
That's a hard negatory, and there it absolutely is. But what a conversation with Steve Francis! It was so fun to go back and listen to that before we put that out. Really, really cool. For him to come on and hope to see him at some games. And obviously we will have basketball interviews coming up fast and furious as we head through the next few months. Fall sports obviously also coming to our head here, coming towards the postseason. We're just a few weeks away from teams like men's soccer, hopefully women's soccer, field hockey, gunning for a national championship, hopefully. So we'll have all the particulars of those people as well. But that's enough for this week's episode of Hear the Turtle. Make sure to check out football on Saturday. Volleyball just came off a big win. We're beating Indiana Week. Beat Indiana Week is what we're doing. Women's soccer trying to get a win with my man Keith tonight on a Thursday. Men's soccer, huge match Friday night, 6:30 Ludwig Field. Well, now on FS2 against Indiana. Come out to Ludwig. That is one of the best rivalries in all of college soccer. And then we've got football on Saturday. As I said, enough for Hear the Turtle. Follow us on all our social media channels. I know Keith does. At Hear the Turtle on Twitter. At Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Sneds311 if you want to get the hottest Twitter content of all time from my man Keith. Tell us my 10 for
you're overpromising a lot. So,
you're at least going to retweet the great Maryland content. as I
Fair
do.
Enough.
As I try and do.
Fair enough.
We will see you next week. Keith.
Go Terps.